Dialing 8th and Walton. Conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton conference call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
Welcome to the 8th and Walton conference call. My name is Jared Davis. Every week, as a matter of fact, every Wednesday morning, we've got a brand new episode just for you. And the reason is because every week something crazy is happening in the world of suppliers and retail and commerce and this little fun world that we're swirling around in. We actually do have a really good show for you today. Let me tell you what's coming up. If you read the description, you know, top of mind, OTIF. On time in full, or the artist formerly known as MABD, whatever you're referring to it as, every supplier is thinking about this, the new on time in full guidelines. And we've got brand new information. I'm actually just in a few minutes about to walk out of the studio and talk to my good buddy Joel Graham. Joel is the director of client services here at 8th and Walton. You've seen him on Focus on Suppliers. You've heard him here on the podcast. We've got some brand new information about OTIF, new information about classes here at 8th and Walton, about the OTIF scorecard, and lots of other things we need to get caught up on as you're getting ready for on time in full to kick in full swing. When is that? August? September? We'll check with Joel. He is the man with the plan. You know what else we're going to do today? We have not done this in quite a while, and that is our five-minute mentor segment. I get to visit with Mr. Tim McCarthy, who is president of Workplace Impact. If you don't know Tim, he's been on Focus on Suppliers, and I've really wanted to have him here on the podcast for a while. Felt so fortunate to be able to sit down with him for a few minutes. And we're going to have Tim back on in a few weeks to just talk about his company, Workplace Impact. But mentoring has been such a big part of Tim's career, still is to this day. And I really wanted to do another mentoring segment because, you know, like I was kind of goofing around a little bit ago when I was talking about crazy things always happening in the retail and supplier world. It seems like every week, whenever we talk about what's going on in the news here on the old podcast, we've got a new chain that's filing Chapter 11 or closing a certain amount of stores or doing layoffs and downsizing, restructuring. That mentor relationship is so important to your career. I know I harp on this every week, but whenever times like that come, it is your mentor that's really going to be your biggest advocate and your biggest cheerleader to getting you through that time, getting you connected to great people to kind of get your career back on track. So I can't say enough about how important I think mentoring is. And Mr. Tim McCarthy is going to go into great detail on how it's impacted his career and have a lot of great advice for you and getting a great mentoring relationship started. All right, let me check with Emma, is Joel out there yet? Okay, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to visit with Mr. Joel Graham. Hold on. Joel, hang on. Sit down, buddy.
Check, one, two. Emma, am I on? Okay, fantastic. We are back talking with Joel Graham. Joel, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, you know what? Last time we were visiting, I think you were just fresh out of a meeting where they were talking about getting an on-time in-full class up and going. We're about, what, 4 or 5 weeks in now? How's the OTIF class going?
Correct. We were wrapping up some loose ends trying to build out materials and really took a record time to build out materials. As soon as On Time Info was announced, probably got that built out within 5 to 10 days and began teaching those classes. What's amazing is, quite frankly, some of the suppliers are coming with bated breath or anticipation, maybe some negativity, and when they leave the class, they're walking up to us and telling us, I have a completely different point of view on this now. I'm much more optimistic. I feel much better about the expectations.
It's nice that they're coming in, and there's a lot of positives around OTIF, you mentioned. Yeah.
One student said, I've been in retail 20 years, taking classes for 20 years. This is hands down the best class she's ever had.
What areas of OTIF are you seeing that kind of need the most attention from these students that are coming in?
It's an interesting question. And like I said last time, it's kind of like the loaded baked potato. It's a loaded question, right? On time in full scorecard is much, much more than a scorecard. It is a reporting mechanism going all the way down to PO level by item, by line. No one has ever had this level of reporting, particularly in the supply chain. It is such a dynamic tool. Perhaps the most interesting piece about it is the accountability breakout, where Walmart is displaying to the supplier clearly what metrics they're taking the accountability for. While that's nice and it is very much appreciated, it's also should be known that Walmart is expecting the supplier to look at that as helping resolve that accountability as well, own everything about it, work with Walmart. They may not be able to affect a Walmart truck and when it picks up late or when it delivers late, but they can certainly work with Walmart in a partnership to correct that issue.
What are some of the biggest questions that you're getting from people fresh in?
Well, the biggest question is they don't understand the new metrics. They don't understand if there's a fine on a PO, is it just the cases that were late or is it the entire PO? From what we understand, it's the entire PO, always has been. It's a cash discount on the deduction in accounting rather than a deduction. So you won't see a deduction code per se is what we understand. But the biggest questions are, I don't understand the metrics. I don't understand what goals are in August. I don't understand what goals are in January. And one of the things I'm telling suppliers is, even though the goal in January is a 75% metric for full trucks and a 33% metric for LTLs, they should really be focused on the 2018 goals, which is 95% for full trucks and 36% for LTLs.
You touched on this very briefly, but let's talk about the reality here, and that is August. Everything's going to start flipping around in August. So what do we need to kind of be on top of right now? What does that mean for suppliers?
Well, I'm anticipating a bit of a panic. I'm anticipating a bit of a, oh, no, we're here, and we're still at 25%, or we're still not there. And then in September, if they do get some fines and their reputation as a supplier starts to be pulled into the play, the potential for product to be maybe losing distribution points because they can't fulfill it, that becomes a reality check for everyone. September will be a big deal. August will be a big deal, but I expect September will be even a bigger deal for a reality check.
One of the things I love about working at 8th and Walton is that everyone here whispers through a bullhorn because I'm a chronic eavesdropper. I hear everything that goes on. And today I heard some rumblings that OTIF is now being set for Canada. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That is interesting, and it doesn't surprise me. The scorecard is such a good tool. It's almost as if the scorecard should have been announced and then the expectations. Hey, with this new, great, dynamic tool, oh, by the way, there's some expectations. But instead, everybody focused on the 3% fines. So naturally, you would expect if the supply chain is to improve in the U.S., Walmart's going to want the supply chain to improve in all aspects, in all countries. So naturally, Canada, I wouldn't doubt it if Mexico is next, right? We've heard rumblings that Sam's may be next as well in 2018. DSD suppliers are exempt, .com suppliers are exempt, parcel post suppliers are exempt, but for how long? And how will they figure out how to pull that into a metric? So yeah, Canada's coming. We've heard that for sure.
So it's time to get serious about OTIF if we're not already. If I'm a supplier and I'm like, okay, I've put this off long enough, what do I need to do?
Obviously, my answer is come to our website, pull up the class. It's going to be a fantastic class for you to take. It's worth every penny of the money you spend on that class, because the savings that you will find and be able to bring in from the logistics supply chain will far outweigh that cost. So go to our website. We're selling out. We're sold out for April pretty much. And if you're going to sign up, it's going to be a month or two out to get signed up.
So get out there now. All right, Joel, I always love having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Charles Redfield. I'm excited to talk to you today about the upcoming Trends in Technology Conference sponsored by the Walton College of Business. This year, we've got a very different conference, but I think you'll also find it very engaging and very dynamic. We've got subjects like the future landscape of retailing, the next generation shopper, and also supply chain and that last minute delivery. We've got some fantastic industry leaders to talk about those things to you. People like Jamie Iannone, President and CEO of SamsClub.com, Linda Dillman, who's a retired Chief Information Officer from QVC, and also Mark Wallace, who's a Senior Vice President of Global Engineering and Sustainability from UPS. So we've got a pure e-commerce player, an e-commerce and brick-and-mortar player, and also supply chain, which makes the whole entire thing work. So you're not going to want to miss this conference. It's Wednesday, April 26th at the John Q. Hammond Center here in Rogers, Arkansas, and we hope to see you there.
We're back on the 8th and Walton Conference Call. My name is Jared Davis. Coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to visit with Mr. Tim McCarthy from Workplace Impact. He's going to join us for our 5-Minute Mentor segment. Before we talk with Mr. McCarthy, how about we take a look at a few headlines? This first one's important. This is new information about your shopper. From the good folks at Salsify, a recent survey found out that 77% of shoppers use their mobile device while they're shopping in the brick and mortar store. You might not think this is a big revelation, but what this tells us is that with so many people turning to their mobile device as they're shopping in the aisle, your online product content is more essential than ever to making the sale. Even more people, just under 90% of consumers say accurate, rich, complete product content is extremely important as they're making their decision to buy. Fewer and fewer people are asking a salesperson in the store for help and just going right to their phone. This isn't generational, by the way. I know this is the part of the story where I jump in and say, well, the millennials are the largest shopping block out there and they're going online. Oh, no. The consumers that were surveyed were between the ages of 18 and 50. They're using their mobile devices as they're in that brick and mortar aisle. The survey indicates that most paths to purchase online leave a lot of room for influencing that shopper. So if I could throw in just one little piece of advice just for everyone out there who's gathering data every week on their consumers, take into consideration that path to purchase. Path to purchase is a big buzzword phrase right now, and particular to your product, when it comes to looking at that path to purchase, does your core customer research online and then purchase in a store? Or do you have the kind of product that is seen in a store where a QR code on the packaging or on the signage is going to be really beneficial to help them make that decision? How many sales are you losing right now because there's a busy salesperson in the store that can't answer questions about your product? Think about that online content. It is essential to educating your customer to make the sale. All right, moving on down the headline list. Oh, let's talk about Amazon for a second. I promise I'm going to be nice to Amazon this week because last week I gave them such a hard time about inviting suppliers to this romantic 3-day getaway in Seattle next month. This week, I'm going to give them a break because they did announce kind of a cool program. Amazon Cash. You know what Amazon Cash is? If you shop at Amazon.com, you know how it works. You've got to have a bank card or a credit card, or if you want to add money to your balance, you can have an Amazon gift card and, you know, input the amount in. You don't have to do that anymore. Now you can add cash directly to your Amazon.com account. Here's how it works. You walk into a participating brick and mortar retailer, like CVS Pharmacy will do this for you, Speedway, Sheetz, Come and Go, several other retailers on the list, and you show your barcode to the store cashier. You just tell them how much cash you want them to apply to your Amazon account. They do it for you, and then you give the cashier your cash. Isn't that convenient? Here's the thing. Walmart already does something similar for their customers. So I just thought this was interesting because every week we're always reading about Walmart doing something very Amazon-ish, and now we have Amazon doing something very Walmart-ish. I'm loving how this is playing out and seeing how these two giants are really getting in each other's territory. We'll follow this one for you and keep you updated on the battle. And with that, I am very quickly tired of hearing the sound of my own voice. I am so excited to get to our next segment, our 5-Minute Mentor. I got to visit with Mr. Tim McCarthy, who is president of Workplace Impact and got some great insight on mentoring. Emma, that is going to be track number 5. Track number 5, please.
We're back on the conference call. We haven't done this in a while. It's our 5-Minute Mentor segment, and I'm so glad to have Tim McCarthy from Workplace Impact in studio with me. You were well worth the wait, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What a nice thing to say. We'll find out shortly if it's true or not.
Tim, I'd like to know, what has mentoring meant to you in your career?
Oh, it's a night and day, the difference of everything. Oh, man. Like, I think of myself as even a grade school or a high school student. and people I attached myself to. Terribly importantly was getting through a huge university, Ohio State, from a kid from a little town called Ashtabula. And then, of course, the part you're talking about, I'm quite sure, more appropriately, is once I was out in the world, in the business world. It was just fine, and it was just looking for that person, you know, that had the experience I needed. It was really just, that was it. I mean, in the advertising business, it was finding somebody who I respected deeply that I could cop some time from and try to get their attention. In the media business, yeah, each business, it's been the same.
Do you remember some of the best mentoring advice you ever received?
Well, the best mentoring advice that relates to my mentoring now is the person who actually taught me how to go into business by attaching me in his business and letting me work for him for free. For a while, which is a great benefit to him. At the end, I remember the last day I was working for him, I was in tears saying, how in the world am I going to thank you? And he said, by paying it forward. He said, I know you're going to be a success. I know you're going to kick butt. And I just want you to promise me that you'll do for others what I've done for you these last 3 months. That was a good piece of advice.
So what are some of the biggest misconceptions you think people have about the mentor-mentee relationship?
That's such a great question. I think the biggest misconception is you need one. And it's just not true. You need lots, you know, for different parts of different things. We all have pretty dramatic weaknesses, especially people with great strengths have great weaknesses. And so I never really looked for like that one mentor. I always try to have a half a dozen. Still do. Still to this day, I have a half a dozen mentors.
For the person out there listening who really wants to take the next step in their career and they'll say, okay, I need a mentor, what do you advise them to do to really get the ball rolling?
Oh, you're hot today. Way to go on the question. I'm serious. So there's two things. One is, and they're kind of the reverse. The first is think of someone that you really admire that you don't think would give you the time. And then the second is get rid of the thought that they won't give you the time. Isn't that funny?
It never hurts to ask.
Precisely. And so I remember, there's actually one of my mentors right now is a billionaire. And just a huge... I mean, he's got the biggest heart of any person I've ever met, too. And so I totally admire him. He lives a modest life and is very giving and that kind of thing. So I see him as a big mentor for me. There was no reason that he should have talked to me 6 or 7 years ago when I attached to him. But I thought, what the hell? I'll ask him. And I did. And now he's one of we talk at least monthly. Yeah. So just think of somebody that you really think won't talk to you. And then see if they'll talk to you.
So what are you reading now, or what's something that you've read in the last year that you would recommend that we all take a look at?
Oh, that's a fun question, because I'm a voracious reader. So the book I always tell every single person I mentor that I read every other year, and it's never going to change, it's always going to be the total classic to me, is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I read it the first time the year it came out, which I don't know, was probably 20 years ago, maybe more. And I still read it every other year because I think those 7 practices are absolutely unchangeable. They're indelible. They're eternal. Some of them are things that have been around for hundreds of years, but Covey put them in such a great way.
That was our last question.
That was my last answer.
Tim, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love hearing myself talk.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
We are about to wrap up the 8th and Walton conference call, and I'm going to say this. I appreciate you. Now, you may think, how can Jared Davis appreciate me when we've never met? But you know what? If you're listening to this right now, you made it all the way to the end of this podcast. Statistically, that just doesn't happen very often. A person will download a podcast or stream a podcast, and they'll listen to the first few minutes or halfway through, but they get busy, they turn it off. You've made it all the way to the end, which is why I've got something very special for you. and I'm lying when I say that. I just need to vent to somebody right now. So since nobody's really listening, except for you, that I really appreciate, please let me share this one story with you. You know this world that we live in, the supplier world. Are you ever in one of your meetings or on a conference call, and you're just sitting there looking at everybody else around the table thinking, I don't know why any of you think this is a good idea. This is a horrible idea, and we are about to spend months executing this, wasting time and resources. But you don't want to say anything because you think it's just you? I think this may be just me, so I need to confide this in you. Okay, let's just start at the beginning. Oreos. And don't get me wrong, I love Oreos. I could eat an entire sleeve in a sitting. But you know what Oreos do? To kind of build a little bit of excitement, they'll come out with a crazy flavor every once in a while, like the candy corn flavored Oreo, or they did like a Peeps flavored Oreo around one of the Easters. Well, they decided they were going to do a new flavored Oreo that is going to be exclusive to Walmart stores over the next several weeks. And they decided to let Walmart shoppers vote on what flavor of Oreo they had to have. They gave them three choices. So I don't know who I'm more angry at. The first choice was jelly donut. Now, that would have been pretty interesting. The second choice was caramel apple. The third choice won. Won by a margin. Do you know what the exclusive Oreo is going to be to Walmart stores? Maybe it's in there now. I've got to go in and check this out. Cookies and cream. I'm going to let that just sink in your skull for a second. A cookies and cream Oreo. What is an Oreo? It's a cookies and cream cookie. You go to any restaurant, you order ice cream, you order a shake that's cookies and cream flavored. What does it taste like? Oreos. Walmart shoppers decided that they couldn't live without an Oreo flavored Oreo. The big lesson in all this, please stop letting shoppers vote on things. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm probably just a little far off edge, but I appreciate you making it all the way to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much. We'll have another one for you next week, Wednesday mornings. Please subscribe to the 8th and Walton Conference Call. Tell your friends about it. This is Jared Davis. I appreciate you. Please have a great week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at 8thandwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.